Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chedi and Induo Rampol Chedi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Hello everyone and welcome to Bible Issues. My name is Dr. Denver Chedi. Today I want to share a few passages from the book of Nehemiah chapter 6. This chapter is talking about external opposition to God's work. There were three people who were the enemies of Nehemiah. Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. They were the main instigators of trouble. They were not pleased that Nehemiah was rebuilding the wall for the Jews, and they did everything in their power to stop it. And this chapter talks about some of the strategies that they use to oppose Nehemiah and his work. And by extension, it could give us a lot of insight into how our enemy works, because the Bible says we are not ignorant of his devices. So this chapter, although it's in the Old Testament, it does give us a lot of insight into spiritual warfare and what kind of strategies or devices our enemy uses against us. So let's read from Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and there were no bricks left in it, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, "Come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono." But they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers to them saying, "I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down to meet you. Why should the work cease while I leave it to go down to you?" And it says, they thought to do him harm. So what's interesting about this particular strategy is how Nehemiah responded to them. He didn't say, "Well, let me meet them and hear what they have to say." He realized that they were trying to distract him, and he would not allow himself to be distracted from the work that he had to do. So the first strategy was they sought to do him harm. Then Sanballat sent his servant to me as before, the fifth time, with an open letter in his hand. In it was written, "It is reported among the nations that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are building the wall. Now these matters will be reported to the king. So come therefore, let us consult together." So Nehemiah said to them, "No such thing as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. For they were all trying to make us afraid, saying, 'Their hands will be weakened in the work and it will not be done.' Therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." Again, very interesting how Nehemiah responded to it. So this time, it was a false accusation or a false rumor that Nehemiah was leading a rebellion. And Nehemiah's response, he did not prepare a great rebuttal. All he said was, "No, that's not true. You're just making that up." And that's all he had to say. That was his entire defense. So I think Nehemiah teaches us a very good lesson in how to fight against the enemy. Don't waste time engaging in combat with the enemy unnecessarily. Just allow God to defend you, and you focus on doing what you have to do. How many times we have found ourselves in a situation, in a trial, and we spend the entire time, we spend our entire prayer life binding and loosing, rebuking the enemy, decreeing and declaring. We spend our entire prayer time fighting against the devil. We go to pray to God, but 90% of our prayer is directed against the devil. And only 10% of our prayer is actually spent communing with God. Interesting, Nehemiah was the exact opposite. He just took two lines to respond to his enemies. And those two lines essentially said, "No, what you're saying is not true. You're making that up." And he went back to focusing on the work that he had to do. One of the devil's main goals is destruction. His goal, his ultimate goal, is not to make you sick, is not to bring a trial into your life. His real goal is to distract you from the work that God called you to do. And many times, he doesn't have to do anything. All he has to do is bring one trial and we distract ourselves, because we take time off from doing God's work to rebuking the devil. But that is just modern Pentecostalism. And even though I'm a Pentecostal, we have to understand what is biblical and what is just contemporary religion. Nehemiah resisted the temptation to go after his enemies and to spend too much time defending himself and attacking his enemies. It went on to say, "For they were all trying to make us afraid, saying their hands will be weakened in the work and it will not be done." So you see, he understood what his enemies were trying to accomplish. They were not trying to accuse him of a rebellion. They were trying to make him afraid so that he will be weakened in his work. He will be discouraged. His morale and his resolve will be weakened. That was their goal. So he did not allow them to succeed in distracting him and weakening and discouraging him. It is important sometimes not just to know that the enemy is attacking us. We need to know why the enemy is attacking us. What is he after? Because we often pray prayers like, "If there is any demon causing my back pain, I rebuke it in Jesus' name." We're just so caught up in rebuking the devil that we never really understand why. Why? If the devil is attacking you and causing your back to hurt or whatever, why is he doing that? Does the devil have nothing better to do than to make your back hurt? Or does he want to distract you from the work? Does he want to so discourage you with all your trials that you start allowing the work of God to go undone and you relent in your Christian duty to what God has called you to do? That is his real goal. And Nehemiah had the discernment to understand what was the real intention of the enemy. So instead of attacking his enemies, he simply prayed, "Lord, strengthen my hands." It is a matter of perspective. And I'm afraid that a lot of Christians today make the devil bigger than he really is. So whenever a trial comes, they launch into an all-out war against the enemy when they should just be taking it to God in prayer. And that's an old-fashioned message that we have lost in modern Christianity. So the second strategy was frightening them, or bringing fear and intimidation with the purpose of discouraging them and weakening them in their work. Let's continue down to verse 10. "Afterward, I came to the house of Shemaiah, who was a secret informer. And he said, 'Let us meet together in the house of God, within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night, they will come to kill you.' And Nehemiah said, 'Should such a man as I flee? And who is there such as I who would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in.' Then I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this reason he was hired, that I should be afraid and act that way and sin, so that they might have cause for an evil report, that they might reproach me." So again, very interesting. Another fair tactic of the enemy, but this time for a different purpose. He went to meet one of his fellow Jews who told him, "They are coming to kill you. So we need to go into the temple, lock the door, and protect ourselves. You need to protect yourself, Nehemiah." And Nehemiah, being a man of principle, said, "Why should I flee and protect my life? The rest of the Jews are out there building that wall. They are putting their lives and their families at a risk. And you want me to save my own life? I will not do it." That was his principle. Then he realized, wait, God did not send this guy. He was hired. That revelation only came to him afterwards. He was acting mainly on principle. And his principle was, "I will not act in my own self-interest." Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow. Paul said, esteeming others more highly than yourself. Self-denial is an important quality of a Christian and Christianity. And the plan of the enemy here was to intimidate Nehemiah so that he would act to protect his own life, and then the other Jews would see him saving his own life and then think to themselves, he is saving his life and sacrificing ours. That's not right. And then they would stop building the wall. That was the strategy. That was the purpose of the whole attacks and the accusations. And Nehemiah, being a wise man, understood that. So this one was a matter of a Christian principle of self-denial rather than selfishness. So just to recap those three strategies of the enemy, the first one was scheming to harm him. The second one was fear and intimidation to discourage him. And then fear and intimidation to cause him to act selfishly and in his own self-interest. Let's look at the life of Peter. And let's see how the enemy used those same three strategies against Peter. The first time, when Jesus told him, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. That is the enemy seeking to harm him. Then Peter, James, and John were beaten by the Sanhedrin, and they were warned not to preach in Jesus' name. So there was fear and intimidation with the purpose of discouraging them. So what did the disciples do? They went to God and they prayed for boldness, and God filled them with His Spirit, and they went out and they preached with boldness. That was their warfare. They didn't bind the spirit of discouragement. They prayed for boldness. And then thirdly, later on, when Peter got intimidated by the Jews, Galatians chapter 1 talks about this, Peter got intimidated by the Jews, and because of them, he didn't want to spend time with the Gentiles, so he separated himself. And the Apostle Paul rebuked him because of that. So that was fear and intimidation with the goal of Peter acting in his own self-interest rather than the kingdom of God. How is the enemy attacking you? Many people suffer with physical illnesses. That's an example of the enemy seeking to do you harm. Every time a trial comes or a sickness flares up, you leave the work of God and you spend all your time dealing with that sickness. Now understand, you have to deal with your sicknesses. But at the same time, don't allow the work of God to suffer. Whatever is the purpose that God called you for, don't let that suffer because you are going through a sickness or a trial. That is what the enemy wants. Doing that work, that Christian work that God called you to do, that is the best spiritual warfare. The enemy could also bring discouragement. That is the second strategy that Nehemiah encountered. Discouragement to cause you to become weary in well-doing. But the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, but know that what you sowed, you will reap in due season if you faint not. And then there is always the temptation to act in your own self-interest, to do what is best for you rather than what is best for the kingdom of God. The Bible said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So let us be mindful of the strategies of the enemy. The Bible rightly says that we are not ignorant. He may try to physically harm you. He may try to bring fear and intimidation to discourage you. And he may also bring fear and intimidation to cause you to act in a way that is not in the best interest of the kingdom of God. So be mindful of these strategies and let us seek first God's kingdom. Let us continue to do the work that God called us to do and not be weary in well-doing. And that is ultimately the greatest spiritual warfare and the greatest rebuke to the enemy. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.
Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chady and Induo Rampal Chady every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.